Big old props to anybody that showed up to watch the Rolex 24 Hour, and most importantly, men and women that actually participated in the race. How about your winner? Damn it. Jordan Taylor, Wayne Taylor Racing, a Rolex 24 Hour winner for 2019, joining us here in the Freak Nation. And do you, when it's that wet for a 24 Hour race, how wet do you get in the car, or do you?
It's the car's actually sealed off pretty well, so you don't, ideally you don't get too wet. But we have some ducts that just you usually have like in the dry for fresh air that'll leak some water in. So sometimes you'll get a couple little sprinkles, but ideally you stay pretty dry. The only scary part is when you do a driver change, you're obviously stepping in water, then you jump in the car and your feet are all wet, and then the fear is that your feet could slip off the pedals. But thankfully, we haven't had that issue recently.
So, okay, so in making driver changes, geez, I guess after the 15-hour mark, when everything was puddling all over the place, I never thought about that. I mean, yes, you're going to get wet at different parts of the pits, but your actual feet getting wet as you're getting into the car, how dangerous that could be. Have you been in a situation where your feet are slipping off the pedals, and how do you control that?
I think different teams probably have different strategies with it. Some teams use like some sort of grip tape on the pedal, but sometimes that could wear off and then become sticky, and then your foot could stick to the pedal. My foot actually slipped off the clutch at some point in the race today, leaving the pits. But I think you play with the angles of the pedals to make the angle proper so you're not slipping off the top of it. And then also if you have the proper racing shoes, they have some grip on the bottom. So thankfully, it's not a huge issue. But I mean, last year at Road America, two drivers actually slipped off the brake pedal and crashed. So it does still happen.
Jordan, you've won with two of the biggest names in racing history, Jeff Gordon and now Fernando Alonso. What have you learned from these experiences? What's new and what's different?
The similarity is that they're both obviously guys coming in with a lot of success, and they come in with a similar approach, and that's a humble approach, and they want to understand from our side the way we approach the races. Obviously, we have more experience in this type of racing than their background, so they come in, ask a lot of questions, they take their ego out of it, and for me, a young guy growing up in the sport, it's nice to see that perspective and understand that these guys have won pretty much everything that there is to be won, are still open to learning and still wanting to learn more. But then on the other hand, for us, it's super exciting to have guys like that with that experience that we can also learn from and dissect their brain and understand, you know, why they're doing these types of things in Formula One and NASCAR, and how those can maybe translate to us in sports car racing.
Jordan, there was huge talent on the team, all four of you, not just you and Fernando Alonso, but there's Kobayashi and Van der Zande. There's got to be egos involved with the drivers, but there's also got to be fun. Tell us some of the things that happened that were fun this weekend.
It's funny when you obviously follow the guys on social media and you kind of see what they're like, but when you meet them in person, it's often a much different story. And I think Formula One these days and those higher levels of sport, you don't see a lot of personality. But when you meet him in person, I think a guy like Alonso is now kind of moving on from Formula One and enjoying life a bit more. It was really fun to see his personality come out and his sense of humor. And it was unbelievable to see him with fans just having fun and joking around nonstop this weekend. It was really just entertaining to watch, you know, how much fun he has and how easy he takes it. And his major thing this weekend was he was always joking about, since it's a 24-hour race, you should take no risk. But his famous line this weekend was maximum risk and maximum attack. So I was starting the race, and he wanted me to have maximum risk on lap one to try to go make up some positions. But thankfully, before the race, he said, I was just joking, just no risk, please.
He is. He's got an interesting sense of humor that, yeah, I think it's cool now that F1 is maybe permanently in his rearview mirror that he can just let it out. But hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let's give yourself credit. Did he know? Was he ready for Rodney Sandstorm, Jordan, your alter ego?
Yeah, I think so. He knew the dance moves and everything, so he definitely did his own research.
Jordan Taylor, Wayne Taylor Racing, winner of the Rolex 24 at Daytona this weekend. Jordan, Fernando was there last year. Now, this year, rain aside, did you notice any difference in the press coverage now that Alonso was there for a second time?
I'm not sure. I didn't really see him much last year. I think there was more story around it this year just because it was with a team that could win overall. Last year, he was with an LMP2 team, which the BOP was not in their favor, so they really had no chance at winning. And this year, he was coming in with more of a retirement from Formula One and having just won Le Mans and announcing that he's going back to the Indy 500. So I think there's a lot of big storylines that kind of centered around this race, leading into Indy 500 this year and coming off of his first sports car win. So it seemed like a ton of press. And I think just standing beside him all week, it was kind of shocking to see how much he has to go through on a day-to-day basis.
Hey, Jordan, I would imagine that winning is at the top of your mind now, obviously. I mean, heck, you're a very good driver. You're a championship driver. Are you giving any thought, though, to a potential career outside of being in the cockpit that might include ownership, like maybe taking over from your dad down the road?
We've obviously talked about it a lot. But I see what he goes through on a day-to-day basis, and it's not a lifestyle that I think a 27-year-old would want right now. He works incredible hours, literally 24/7. He's working every day of the week, working on sponsorships with Konica Minolta and making deals between them and companies that we work with through motorsports to make their business back. So it's a nonstop job and mostly a thankless job. And I think right now I enjoy the driving side of it while I can still race and be competitive. And maybe down the road, you know, I can slowly start taking over little pieces from him and take some stress off of him.
Just send him Rodney. Get Rodney on the payroll.
I don't know how good Rodney would be good on the business side.
No, I think he'd leave Rodney at home, bro.
I don't know. He could attract a different kind of sponsor.
That's true. He's probably a good denim sponsor.
Jordan Taylor, Rolex 24-hour winner, joining us here in the Freak Nation. And when you see the amount of rain, and you know the fans are doing their best to hang out and catch whatever racing they can, how much do you take into consideration as you're driving of what a crap show it is for the fans that are trying to brave the weather?
Yeah, actually, I have a good story about that, that you reminded me. I was in the car from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m., and the rain hadn't come yet, but it was freezing out, and obviously it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and a yellow came out, and I looked between 3 and 4 into the dog leg. There's a little grandstand section, and I looked in the grandstand, and there's three or four guys standing at the top of it, and one of them was in Rodney Sandstorm gear. So I'd love to figure out who that guy was, because it was awesome. Every time I drove by under yellow, he was just standing there with his DuPont jacket and jeans at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's awesome.
If only you could wave out the window. My guy!
I know. If I had an open window, I definitely would have waved at him. But maybe he's not a Rodney guy. Maybe he's just a true Jeff Gordon fan.
Yeah, there is that. There is definitely that.
It's probably more likely.
I know you'd rather win the 2019 Rolex 24 with maximum laps. Does this win feel a little bit shortchanged for you?
It definitely feels a bit different. I wouldn't say shortchanged. I think, you know, there were, you know, 11 or 12 cars in our class that had a chance to win this race, and we were able to win it. So I think if anyone else won it, they would be, you know, holding it up high and being proud of it. And I think we proved, you know, all throughout the race, we led most of the laps of any team. So I think if anyone deserved to win, we proved that we were a competitive team all throughout it. Made no real mistakes. The team had perfect strategy, and it was all about kind of understanding if IMSA was going to throw a red and at what time, and if you want to race to lead to be in a position to, you know, make the most of that red flag or take it easy in the rain and the tough conditions, hoping for a yellow and for a restart. So it made the strategy very tough, but I think our guys kind of nailed it in the last couple of hours.
Well, let's talk about your final time in the driver's seat. You nailed it with a mad pass for the lead, and then it got a little shaky. You had Elio Castroneves was up in the booth, and he called it a code brown. when you almost lost it out with because the conditions were so bad. Was it was anything going through your mind of uh-oh, I just screwed this up?
Was that when the Lamborghini spun in front of
me? Yes. Yes, and you barely made it by.
I know. That was unbelievable. Turn one had a bunch of standing water. You aquaplaned really easily, and it was super easy to go off track. And I remember I was coming up on a Lamborghini, and I was going to go to the outside, but he shifted up in front of me, so I moved further out, and he hit a puddle, and aquaplaned. And when you aquaplane, there's no way you can save it. And he was out of my vision because of the A-pillar in the car, so I couldn't actually see where he was, and I didn't actually know that he spun. And my spotter came on the radio and said, inside car spinning, and I had no idea what he was talking about because I thought I was past the guy. And then you can see the car had yellow headlights, and the first thing that I saw were yellow headlights, and I immediately went right. But if it wasn't for our spotter, that would have probably ended our race right there.
Bam.
Ooh, hey, okay, your spotter's name is?
Brian Robson.
Brian saved the race.
And we also had Jason Burgess up there all night.
Brian and Jason, bam!
Jordan, congrats, man. It's, again, regardless of how you want it, damn it, you are the 2019 Rolex 24-hour champion.
Yeah, thank you. I'll always have that Rolex to look at and remember.
Yeah, it is.
When you pick up Fonz tomorrow, will you give him the watch?
I might have to get this one sized for him. He might want it.
Right around that
point. We'll be talking to you throughout the year, buddy.
All right. Thanks for having me on.